Derek, start us out here with Dodge City on the junior college end. I'll recap Garden City real quick, and then we'll get us out of here with the best thing we saw from the weekend.
Yeah, well, we saw a couple of really, really good ones on Saturday at Barton Gym. Really fun place to watch a game, and it was a cool place to get experience with. And I'm very happy that we were able to go over there. First of all, you have to walk in through the pool to get to the press box, so it's a super unique environment. You walk up. They actually host state tournament there for the lowest division of 1A, so it's a great gym for that. But all those things aside, the crowd was really good. Obviously, the top two teams in the Jayhawk Conference on the women's side, and I'm telling you, just by the way that this game evolved in the second half, Dodge City snagged the lead with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter and never trailed again. And they played a step above Barton. And I think Barton is definitely the second best team in the conference. Of course, you have, when you look at all these teams together, this Saturday game for Dodge was the last game against the their last of the first, if you will. They've completed the full circuit around the conference once. Now they'll go back and do it again. But really nice win for Dodge City on the road, 79-65. And again, when you just kind of break down this box score, there are so many different players that can beat you. And it was 17 from Leah Mafua this time. Bree Stevens returning. This is her first start since December the 12th after she had a little bit of an ankle injury. She played in Dodge City's last game against Pratt, but was really limited and did not look like her former self. Well, then she started here on Saturday and got 16 points, including a key three in the fourth quarter to stave off a Barton rally. 14 for Jada Burton, 10 for Paris Santa Catarina off the bench for Dodge as well. 40 points in the paint to Barton's 26, and Barton's a bigger team. And, of course, they have one of the better players in the conference in Jenny Kim Wilmsey, who had just 9 points and 12 rebounds. She was kept uncomfortable most of the game, and she had some early foul trouble, but Dodge did a great job taking her out of the game. So Dodge led by as many as 17 points in that last quarter, and they certainly have established themselves as the cream of the crop in this conference, now having a two-game lead on the women's side. On the men's side, meanwhile, another heartbreaking loss for Dodge City. But you know what? This is a team that has played with fire against some of these teams, and you know, rightfully so. In some respects, there are a lot of good teams in this conference. As you know, Baylen, this is just a conference that'll grind you down, man. And you are going to lose some games. It is just impossible to blow through this conference, even if you are the best team. And I think at this point, Dodge City, again, has established themselves as the best team. Had a three-game lead in the conference, which is pretty unprecedented at this point in the season. Now it's down to two, 76-73 loss, but they turned it over 20 times in this game. A little bit ugly at times. Mose Downing Rivers. Of course, DJ Jones misses two free throws during a tie game with 7 seconds to go, and Mose Downing Rivers goes down and sinks a straightaway three to beat Dodge City at the Horn. Really cool scene. Again, a great environment given the fact that Dodge City head coach Brad Witherspoon spent a couple of years as an assistant there, was passed over when they hired their new head coach. So there was, you know, some hard feelings from the community. A lot of folks liked Coach Witherspoon and thought that he should be the head coach at Barton. Didn't happen, but no hard feelings from Brad. Of course, he's in a great spot now at Dodge City, and he's got a top 10 team. Will be interesting to see how far they fall, if much at all, in the NJCAA poll here today. But Dodge City now with a two-game lead on both the men's side and the women's side, despite the loss for the men. Both teams still in really good shape as we enter the second half.
What a season so far for both the women and the men, both projected to be middle to bottom of the pack in the Jayhawk Conference, and they've showed that that is far from where they are at. Also, maybe a little bit of a, you know, deep breath for the men. A lot of those losses, actually really all four of those losses, have been razor thin. It's taken some late game magic or a really, you know, kind of a catastrophic comeback or letdown, if you will, by Dodge, especially talking that Indian Hills game that second time around. Really felt like Conquistadors could have won that. Let's go over to Garden City real quickly. The women fall to Hutch, just not enough firepower for the Lady Bronkbusters. They have really struggled. Bright spot was three busters in double figures. Ariah Brooks has 11 points, a new season high for her. But Garden City 3-9 in the conference with four straight losses. Injuries to one of the top posts in the conference, Jemiah Lyons. She may not be back the entire rest of the year for Garden City. And they're working to try to get her back along with Kiana Stanley. And Destiny Smith, kind of Stanley playing Destiny Smith. two really big pieces, and especially when you look at Destiny Smith, who's coming off of a top career game for her right before the break. Really felt like that she could be a big piece of the second half push for Garden City, but you still want to be playing your best basketball February and March, and there's still some key playmakers out there for the women. The men, on the other hand, blow out Hutchinson, 117-97. Dejon Humphrey, a career high 35 points. Beru Nevelarua went right against the top player in the conference in Aaron Franklin and showed that, you know, he can hang with the best of them. 30-11 for Beru, career high in points for him. Held Aaron Franklin down under, I believe he had 16 points. That's pretty mild for the conference player of the year, more than likely. Garden City, easily able to break the press. I mean, they ran the same press break, same two or three majority of the game. Was really impressed with the shooting, 63% for Garden City. They now sit at fourth in the conference behind Coffeyville, Butler, and Dodge. And CD, I know you had kind of texted me about this, and you said, is Hutch down? And I said, I don't think Hutchinson is down more so than they're not as unbeatable. They can still beat everybody the way they play in the conference. I just think that they can be beat by almost anybody now, whereas before years past, they've been kind of invincible. Also, there was a stretch I want to point to for Hutchinson because they were riding a four-game winning streak coming into that game with Garden City. They were missing two of their starters for about four or five games. That's where they actually lost all of their conference games before this run that Garden City just ended. So I know that the way Hutch plays, how deep they'll go, typically it's not as much of a big deal when you're missing two of your starters, but that can affect you certainly the way you start and end games. That's our quick wrap-up there of the community college realm. Garden City and Dodge, you know, improving on the men's side. Women starting to fall a little bit behind, but I think on the women's side in particular, I think Dodge City, it's their conference to lose. I'm slightly concerned, just a touch, Derek, because Barton has been very, very good. That now that Dodge City loses that tiebreaker for now, there's still an extra game coming around as we enter the midway point of the year that, you know, things could get interesting, but I still expect the Conquistadors to take the Jayhawk on the men's side. And by the way, great call there on the Mosey Downing Rivers three-pointer. That was a lot of fun. I know both you and Cole Reif had a lot of fun calling that game 76-73, the final. Last thing for us here. Let's look at the best thing we saw from the weekend. I will start Jaguars beating the Chargers. I don't like the Chargers. I've made it very apparent. I'm not a fan of Brandon Staley. Now, if Sean Payton goes there, I might be more inclined to root for the Chargers, and I do like Justin Herbert a lot, but this is a deep-rooted hatred for the Chargers after them seemingly giving up every big game to every team in the NFL not named the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, my goodness, how many times did Peyton Manning have a awesome team and his playoff run stopped short by Philip Rivers led San Diego Chargers at the time with LaDainian Tomlinson as well. He was a big piece of that always. You look at some of the playoff wins for the Chargers, and they always seem to come over the Colts. So Jaguars getting the comeback and me being right, just calling the Jags out or calling the Chargers out, just saying, hey, they're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game. And they did. So that felt pretty darn good. Derek, where are you going with this one?
Yeah, I'm going with the Downing Rivers three at the horn, but that's really just one piece of the puzzle on Saturday. I mean, Dodge City's women are on the cusp of a historic season here. This is a team that has never won the region. They've never made the national tournament, and they are in very good position to do so. But the Downing Rivers three sent the Barton Gym into a frenzy. Again, a very good crowd. A decent number of Dodge folks traveled over, and Barton had a nice home crowd as well. A good chunk of their students were back on campus and back for the game. So again, great environment, great finish, everything, you know, this conference can produce moments like that. And again, it really doesn't matter what team you are. I mean, we have seen teams like Colby get a win. I mean, for crying out loud, Colby went on the road in like the most impossible place to win in this conference at Butler, and they won early in the season in this conference. So you can see anything. The power plant has been such a difficult place for opposing teams to go in and win. So the fact that this conference can produce those kind of moments is just really cool. But that scene in particular, the Downing Rivers three, which was not an easy shot. I mean, they get the rebound and go down and, you know, don't even have time to take it to the rim. Takes an off-balance three. You know, it's a tremendous look for Downing Rivers. And that was also a Barton team that had only made two threes up until the final 5 minutes of the game. And then they ripped off four of them late. They made three in a row to eventually take the lead. Then Dodge had to battle back, and then they win it on a three. So Mosey Downing Rivers, great player. Cougar Downing, of course, that's a legendary family here in Kansas as well. That entire family has had such a long lineage. Both he and his cousin Cougar Downing have several Division I offers, and so those guys will be playing at the next level next year. But a cool shot for him, and a great scene at Barton on Saturday.
Yeah, there's, the men's side, I think, is as even as it's been. You talk about Colby going 1-11 and that being their one win against Butler. They've been in a ton of games as well. The Trojans have kind of had an up-and-down year. CD, we're throwing you on kind of just a little bit. I mean, I mentioned this before, but on the spot, do you have a favorite moment from the weekend that
you saw? I have a few of them. Since I'm not on every day with you guys, I'm going to take the opportunity to get a few of these in and not just one. My first one, locally, Isaiah Salinas' shooting performance on Friday. That was pretty awesome to hear. I didn't watch the game. I listened to it. I'm old school. So good job, Balin, on the call. Made me super excited, unlike the announcers on Saturday night for that football game. You put me there like I was watching the game. Super excited about that. Let's go with also Doug Peterson's fourth down call. I don't even know what formation that was.
Like wishbone.
Yeah.
It was like wishbone.
Outside handoff. Everyone loads the box. Outside handoff to Travis Etienne to basically win the game. That was huge. Tying in with that, Trevor Lawrence going to Waffle House after the game. He's just a normal dude.
True Florida man. Florida man.
That's cool. I mean, whether he did that, which I don't think he's the kind of guy. Social media quarterback.
There you go.
So to speak. But I think he just likes Waffle House. So cool to see him be a normal person. I got another one that I got to apologize to you and Derek for, both Indiana people. Mm-hmm. But Ja Morant's dunk this weekend on Indiana soil at the Pacers. I saw on Twitter that he has just a monster dunk against every team. And the last one that he didn't have one against were the Pacers. So shout out Ja Morant. What a dunk. He's got something every night. It seems like he's got a highlight for us. So those are my best things I saw this weekend. Final thing, just want to give a shout out because I am off today. I am in the banking industry, but I am off because it is Martin Luther King Day, and that's such an important part of our American history. A lot of people want to scrub our history, and I think good and bad parts of our history is what makes us who we are as a nation. And MLK is one of the good things about our history that we should never forget. So it's an important thing that should be important for all of us here in America. And I give a shout out to this day and who it's for.
Yeah, we get to enjoy sports and everything that goes with them. And not just we, but everyone gets to enjoy sports equally. I think that's a very important touch from Mr. MLK and everything that he does and represents. And it's nice to get the day off, I'm sure. And not only just to get the day off, but like you said, CD, honor him and what he did and what everything he means to the country and the way it is now, really. But yeah, a really, really great Monday morning show there for us. That's going to close it out on the morning roundup. Derek, anything else? I know we've got kind of a slow start to the week, and then it goes super, super quick as far as action. What are you up to, at least kind of getting ready for this week?
Well, of course, it is a sprint to the finish to prep for a Tournament of Champions this week. 8 teams coming in, and I've only seen 2 of them, Dodge City being one and Junction being the other. So a big finish coming for the end of the week, but also a couple of interesting-ish kind of games today. The headline in college basketball, Purdue and Michigan State, 1:30 tip. If you're looking for matinee hoops, today's the day, and that's what I'll be watching inside my office this afternoon.
Not Georgetown, Villanova?
Not that.
How about Purdue Fort Wayne's playing today, right?
Sure.
They are?
Sure. How about that? Who's Purdue Fort Wayne playing?
I don't know. I just saw them. Right. I just saw the logo pop up on the schedule. All right. I was I went to you hoping that you knew more about that.
I'm going to say Cleveland State.
I think you're right.
Am I right?
It is Cleveland State. Right,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dons are 5.5-point favorites.
Love that. Go Purdue Fort Wayne, John Kaufman. Roll Mastodons, best mascot in all of NCAA. Mascot. Anyway, we're on a tangent here, but CD, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you coming in on a Monday. And always, always welcome. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. If you have it off, do something productive. Go out, take a walk, maybe go play some golf, or get the house cleaned up, because we are busy. And I know a lot of people are kind of hungover from all the football this weekend. is coming right back tonight with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. High school basketball, college basketball. It's going to be a great week here. We'll have it all live for you on the morning roundup. See you tomorrow, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., every morning.
This has been the Morning Roundup Show featuring Baylen Hyde and Derek Decker. Live on 99.9 The Rock, a WKBC sports production.